All right, everyone, let's do this. How are you? Welcome to this week's episode of our podcast. It's called Is Breakfast Included? Thanks for stopping by again. Don't forget to check out our friends at Tone Shop Guitars. They are DFW's largest independently owned music store with the largest selection of Gibson, Paul Reed Smith, Fender, Taylor. They've got it all. And they have an amazing used section. Make sure you check them out at toneshopguitars.com. Use the code BREAKFAST15 and receive 15% off your first online order. That being said, on the show today, we have Scarlett Deering. What a rock star name, right? Scarlett Deering. Scarlett is a violinist, fiddle player, depending on which you need. That's two different gigs. She could do both. She stopped by to talk to us about her career, her life, being a musician all her life, her dad, touring with the Eagles, her latest tour with Jesse Daniels. Man, we got into everything. It was a great conversation and a lot of fun, and I think you're really going to dig it. Let's check it out. Tell everyone who you are, where you're from, what you do.
Yes. Okay. My name is Scarlett Deering. I'm a fiddle player, violinist. I play whatever instruments people ask me to play, sing, producer, engineer, all of it. And I'm in Denton, Texas.
Denton,
born and
Texas.
Raised in Dallas. Yes.
Okay, cool. So how many instruments do you play?
I mean, I mostly stick to fiddle and violin. It's kind of one of those things where, like, when I'm recording, I will just pretend to know how to play an instrument. So I can play mandolin and guitar, and I've dabbled in, you know, bass and cello, and I play viola. And, I'm terrible at drums, but.
and you come from a pretty musical family, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yes. My dad, Milo Deering, he's a pretty well known in the music community in Texas. He's been a studio guy forever and has also done some pretty significant touring. And my mom, when I was growing up, she's a singer songwriter and excellent vocalist. She's I love her voice, but yeah.
And do you have any siblings?
Yes. I've got a little sister, Savannah. She plays, but she decided she did not want to do it full time. And I mean,
did not want to go into the family business.
Maybe made the right decision.
Let me ask you a question. When you get called for gigs, either live touring or recording, do they specifically say, like, we need a violin player or we need a fiddle player? Because it's two different things, correct?
When it comes to actually playing, it's definitely two different things. It's the same instrument. But yes, I get asked very specifically for one or the other. And I do both. So, which is definitely beneficial for me. But it's definitely like two very different things.
Yeah.
And then, of course, within the two different worlds, there are so many different sub-genres of, you know, are you a bluegrass fiddler or are you a country fiddler? It's like,
yeah. And what are you?
I do it all.
Okay. Right.
I say I'm adaptable.
Well, that's cool. And that makes you more marketable, correct?
Yes. Yep. It's allowed me to dip my feet in a lot of different genres and a lot of different experiences. And honestly, I feel lucky that my dad, he's a fiddle player, like totally a fiddle player. But he, when I was little, I was, you know, like three. And I said I wanted to play fiddle like my dad. And they made sure that I was trained classically, you know, but it was like while I was training classically, he was throwing in all of the fiddle stuff and making sure that I was doing both at the same time.
Yeah.
Just to have range.
Right on. So you're like the crossroads version.
Yes. Fiddler, yes.
See, you got that reference. So you've been playing all your life. Just following you, I've noticed you've been playing pretty much the majority of your life. Who were your early influences?
Oh my gosh. Well, I grew up like I loved prog rock and I also loved a lot of I loved Queen and I loved Beatles. My dad would show me Beatles and Beach Boys. And but then I, of course, as an angry teenager, I was listening a ton to like System of a Down or or like Muse or Deftones or but you know, I think that I was really heavily influenced by just, this is gonna sound so cliche, but just any good, what I consider good music that I could get my hands on. I just wanted to learn it all.
Yeah.
So, you know, I dabbled in like listening to Snarky Puppy or just any kind of like really interesting, fascinating music. I was inspired by all of it.
Right on. Right on. And do you have your own band?
You know, I don't have my own band right now. I did release an album in 2017 called There Is a Moon. And I played it out some, and I had a working band, but in 2018 I ended up going on tour like pretty much full time the whole year. And after that I didn't really get to put as much energy into my own project as I would have liked to.
Yeah.
I've been considering recently like getting back into writing and getting back into performing on my own. But just being a sideman ended up taking up my whole life.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing.
When did you start touring?
I'm sorry?
When did you start touring?
It was 2018, March of 2018. I got two gigs simultaneously, touring with the Eagles in the string section. Mm-hmm. And then touring with Zane Williams, a Texas country artist, as his fiddle player. So it would be like, you know, I'd be on the road on a bus or flying wherever. And then I would like fly home like at, you know, 2 a.m. from a show, immediately drive to like get on a bandwagon for bus call and then go and play a honky tonk the next day. So that was like all of 2018.
So you were experiencing both sides of it.
Worlds. Oh, yeah.
And the arenas.
Oh, and stadiums. Yes. Yeah. It was wild.
And that was your first touring gig.
I had done some touring before that, but this was like the first year where it was like, that is what I was doing. Like I had toured with an indie folk band called Siren. Mm-hmm. We were van and trailer, you know, like 15 passenger van with anywhere from 7 to 9 or 10 people.
Yeah.
And we'd be out for like a month and a half playing, you know, rock venues and festivals. And it was a blast. But, you know, that was kind of like, you're playing in a rock band and you're 22 and it's wild and crazy and fun. This was like, oh, now I'm doing this professionally, you know? Yeah. Just definitely a big change.
It's a call sheet. You got to be on time. You
exactly. Yes. Yes.
And what was that experience like, man? Like coming from that and then, you know, touring for one of the biggest bands in the world or playing, you know, in their string section.
My life was turned completely upside down and in the best way. Yeah. I think there were so many things that I learned that, first of all, I learned traveling is not hard. It's not hard to do. Yeah. You can drop anything at any moment and go anywhere you want. It's not like I got to play. My dad was in the string section with me. And so we got to play all of these amazing shows next to each other. And I think that is like the biggest gift of it all was just getting to play with my dad every night. And, you know, it's like you're standing on stage and everyone in the audience is shining their flashlights and singing along. And it's like, I would just look over at him and he had the biggest grin on his face.
Yeah.
And, no, it was absolutely magical. And it also gave me I already had that fire in me that I knew that like I wanted to tour and that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But once I experienced that, I knew that I was there for a reason. I was there because I, not to be any kind of way, but I was there because I was good enough to be there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if I'm capable of doing that, then I'm capable of doing anything that I set my mind to, you know?
Yeah. And you're not being boisterous or anything like that. Like, if you're there, there's a reason you're there.
Right.
You know, some folks get there and they realize they can't handle it.
Well, right. And a lot of people don't like touring. They don't adapt well. Or they can't hang, yeah. You know? I think that I knew that touring is where my passion lies. I love the travel. I love the chaos, you know, but I also love that it's kind of a controlled environment once you're on the road.
Yeah.
You know, you have people telling you where to be, where to go, and it's your job to play a good show, you know, like, so you can put everything in you into playing a good show.
Yeah.
And I think also like the drive of being on the road with one band at all times, where every show you're playing the same show, pretty much, you know, it can change a little bit, but every show you're playing the same show and everyone is just trying to make that show better. You know, it's like you work out little tiny details together, you know, I love getting that intimate with music and with the other musicians that you're playing with.
Yeah. And like you said, your dad was there and it was really special for you, but I'm almost going to guarantee you it was more special for him, you know?
I've had a lot of people tell me that, yes.
It's something to share that moment with a family member, but when you're the parent and you're sharing it, you know, it's really cool. I always wondered how, you know, a lot of folks, a lot of fans really were down on Van Halen when they replaced Michael Anthony with Wolfgang Fit.
Got it. Yep.
I look at it like I would do it in a heartbeat if I was in that.
Of course.
Get to play with your son and you get, you know, it's really cool, man.
You know? You know, and over the years, even, I mean, in other bands I've played with, and anytime there's family on the road, it mm-hmm. feels like there's extra magic, you know, it's like just having family together. Doing the thing together. It's really special.
Yeah. It's almost like twins. Like you feel it,
right.
You know, you know what they're going to do. They know.
Right. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So being a side man or, yes. You know, a side musician.
Yes.
I've worked with a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
What is the one thing you can share of knowing your role? Like staying in your lane, realizing, hey, I'm here for a job.
Right.
I'm doing this. My name's not on the marquee, but I'm just as important, but I need to stay in my lane.
You know, it's almost a relief, really. First of all, it's a relief. I'm in Nashville right now. I'm here with an artist that I've been playing with a lot for the last couple of years, Amanda Kate Ferris. It's so much fun for me to just be supportive of her, you know, where I know that my job is, it's not to be in the spotlight. It's to look cool, be cool, play awesome, but mostly make sure that she feels so supported that no matter what scenario we're on or in, no matter what stage we're on, no matter who we're playing for, she can sing her heart out, you know, and she knows that we're not gonna screw her up, you know?
Yeah.
So just like, I think just like, I have found a way to like still, still have individuality and kind of be myself and show myself. But making sure that my one big job is just to make an artist feel confident and supported. I know when I've been a front person in the past, and I'm not very good at it, the times when I felt best were when I had a band where I had no doubt in my mind that they were going to play the right notes. They were going to play, they were going to count me in right. They were going to support me the way that I really, really needed them to. And so I've been there. I know what that feels like when someone drops the ball or, yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah. You don't want to be left there holding,
No. It's whatever. Well, and I mean, I'll be honest, I've also been in scenarios in bands where I've been the one who knew the songs better than the other band. And I'm like trying to lead a band on fiddle. I'm like, oh my gosh, this isn't how it's supposed to work. Though there are some fiddle indies out there. Exactly. I'm like, I'm trying to play chords to lead a guitarist who doesn't know the chords to the song. And it's like, oh no, this is not how it's supposed to work.
But, what is your favorite memory of touring? Do you have any favorite like places or just specific moments?
Oh gosh, there are so many. I mean, I think of course being with the Eagles, I think there was a one specific show we played, the Phillies, the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And James Taylor opened and it was a full moon. And just the whole night, I mean, my parents, my family was all there, like everyone had flown in to see the show.
Yeah.
It was like every part of that night was magical. And it wasn't even, of course the music was amazing. James Taylor was amazing, but just having family and the crew at that point, I'd gotten so close with everyone in the crew and, it just felt like a huge family. I think that that's the big thing for me about any tour is, the people that you travel with, they really become family.
Yeah.
I mean, you love each other. You have every experience together. I apologize if it's crass, but you know how everyone's body functions work. It's
like a cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. You know everything about each other. And I think, that's another one. When I was touring with the indie folk band Sarin, It wasn't the show. We played a festival in Quebec. It's Festival d'Été. And the Killers were like the big act. We were like on a tiny little stage, we were like the name at the very bottom of the poster. but we, it was like one of the perks was we got to go and see the Killers in the VIP section and at the front. And it was like in front of, there were probably 70,000 people there, and we're like at the front, and you're there with your family, and it's like seeing the smiles on everybody's faces and just the joy of like where music takes you. I think that those are the moments that are those are the high highs that make me get through the low lows. If you know what I mean.
No, I completely, I'm a musician, or I used to be, but I work as a tech, but I completely feel you, man. It's like this whole, like, I always refer to us as carnies, traveling from city to city. We do this. You may not like the person, someone you're touring with, but you've got their back. They have your back.
Absolutely.
I don't mean you don't like them, but you may not enjoy their company, but you have their back.
Right.
Because that's your family member.
Right.
And it's really cool. And I always say my blood pressure goes up. We have a talk back mic on stage, and the last thing I say is when I hear bands walking, I get on there and I was like, all right, nobody fuck up.
Right.
you know, and then my blood pressure goes up. And as soon as they go into that first track and the crowd goes, whatever, that's like, the best, right?
Like washes. Oh my gosh. I know exactly that moment where sometimes I've had this thing recently where I'll like be getting ready for a show. And I'm like in my brain, I'm like, oh my God, what if I get on stage and I forget how to play fiddle? Like, what if I get on stage and my fingers just don't work and I just don't know how to do it anymore?
Yeah.
And it's like, I start to get real anxious. Like, you know, it's like imposter syndrome starts creeping in. And then you get on stage and the first note plays and it's like, oh, right, here we go. And it's like just this wash of relief and joy and God, I wouldn't trade it for anything, you know?
I know. Yeah, you just said imposter syndrome. Do you suffer from imposter syndrome?
I definitely have at times. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's on and off. I mean, the music industry, sorry. Okay. The music industry, it's so, what's the word? I don't want to say unreliable. It's, oh gosh, you never know what's going to happen. Yeah. You just never know. And there are good years and bad years. There are good days and bad days.
Feast and famine.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And when it rains, it pours, you know, I mean,
it's all right.
So, you know, for the last few years, I've mostly been playing with, like I might be playing with anywhere from 5 to 15 artists in 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a few like really consistent artists, and I just got off the road with a guy, Jesse Daniel. And that was a blast. But I haven't really been like consistently touring with any one artist. And there are months where I'm looking at my calendar and I've got like 3 gigs, you know, and I'm like, I'm in a panic. I'm absolutely panicked. And it's in those moments where like imposter syndrome really starts to creep up, or it's like after a month of things being really slow. And then all of a sudden I'm like playing a sold out show at Billy Bob's. And I'm like, what am I doing here? Am I really supposed to be here?
It always works out.
It always works out. And I always have to remind myself that, again, I wouldn't be here. Like, I'm not going to get hired if people aren't going to hire me just because they want me there. They're going to hire me because they want me there to play. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I work through the imposter syndrome. It creeps up every once in a while, but I'm getting a lot better at dealing with it.
I didn't know what that was. And then I was talking to someone a few years ago and I was like, yeah, I always feel like I don't belong where I am. And they were like, you know, you've earned this. And this really, what in this industry is the first time in my adult life that I did something where I'm like, hey man, like, can you help me get a job? Like I found this by accident, and every gig I've ever had was, hey, call this guy because he's your guy, you know? And you said, do I belong here? Well, obviously so, because they called me.
Exactly.
You know, but I mean, they can call you and you cannot be the person they want.
For sure.
You know,
and that's happened. Yeah. I just had this conversation with the last month has been a little bit of a whirlwind, but I was on a country music cruise last week. And I had a conversation with one of the artists on the cruise, and it's like, man, yesterday I was sitting in my cabin thinking about quitting. And he's like, you know, there's people that are better. And it's like, no, they're not better. They do something different.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like we all have our place and we're all needed for what we do. We all like serve a role and we are here for the role that we serve. You just have to know what it is that you're good at and be good at it and be kind. And, you know, it's like that's where your success lies. My dad, that's something that he taught me when I was just getting going, you know, just starting to do studio work or playing in bands. And he said, Scarlett, you don't have to be the best. You have to be really damn good.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the best. Yeah. You have to be really good. You have to put the work in, and you have to be kind to people, and you have to have them want to be around you. The second that you're not kind, you know, what did he say? If you're a good hang, basically, and a good player, you're going to get hired over the person who's a little bit better, but a little bit worse to be around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And I've even been around bands where they didn't have great players. They were just great people.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
And you know what? That's fun.
You know? Yeah. You just happen to be a great player. Like, I followed you before I reached out to you. I've been following you for a while. You just happen to be a great player. We share a lot of the same friends.
Yes.
we cross paths with a lot of the same people. And, you know, you're a cool person, or else you wouldn't be getting the gigs. Well, I know those people. You know, I know those people. I saw you with Zane.
Oh, wonderful. You know, yes.
So I saw you when you were with Zane.
Oh, and all of those guys. Andy Rogers in Zane's band, he's become like one of my closest friends in the music industry. And now they have Wilder Blue now, and God, they are just killing it. It's so cool to see. It makes me so happy. Mm-hmm. But you know, I feel really lucky having played with as many different artists as I've played with. I feel like my family keeps growing, and I just feel really grateful that I've gotten to meet so many people and have so many families spread out so far now.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, it's so stellar to get to know so many amazing people and
right.
have just the most wild, unexpected experiences.
Right?
You know?
Right. One day you're here in this awesome place, and then the next day you're back in Denton, and you're like, does that happen?
Yeah, truly. A week ago, was it a week ago? Excuse me. A week ago, I was driving back from Galveston, getting off of this cruise, and I swear it felt like I had just come off from a different planet. Like I was a different person.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, am I gonna be able to play gigs again? I don't feel like I'm the same person that I was a week ago. But I just, you know, binged all of the Twilight movies and then jumped into a gig, and it was great. Disassociated with my cats for 24 hours.
How many cats do you have?
I have two.
Yeah, it's right on. How do you balance the demands of touring and session work and everything you do with a personal life? You do know what that is, right? A personal life?
Good question. you know, it's hard. It's very hard. And a lot of the time I feel like my work life is my personal life, because honestly, I'm all the people I work with are my friends, you know? I have really in the last year tried to make an effort to, for instance, schedule a day or two a week where I'm not working. Or where I don't take gigs. And sometimes, you know, I make exceptions. But I think for me, living in Denton, for instance, it's really helped because it's such a small community. I live right next door to friends, you know. I have like four different groups of friends, not musicians, not people in the industry. But just friends that I can sit and not talk work with.
Yeah.
And I, you know, my family is so close. I get to see them. We try to see each other as often as possible. Sometimes, you know, we're all on the different parts of the country or whatever. But I think for me, really making an effort to schedule time for me and respecting myself and not allowing I'm such a people pleaser. I just, someone calls me for a gig, I want to say yes. But there are some times where I have to acknowledge that, if I work myself sick, then there's no time for me, and I'm not yeah. able to take care of myself or my relationships the way that I need to.
Yeah.
It's a struggle. It really is.
I feel that, man. I know that before 2020, it was hard for me to say no to anything.
Oh yeah.
And we have a one-off. Can you fill in? Can you do this? Mm-hmm. And then I guess during 2020, it opened my eyes.
Yeah. Oh yes.
To where I'm like, you know what? My phone didn't ring, not even for a, hey, how are you?
Right.
Two people called. And those are the people, that I realized, those people cared enough to reach out, and I reached out back, so. And I can't say I was good at reaching out to people, but I have a small circle of friends now that I know that are friends.
Well, and that, that's the thing is I think that there was a point maybe a year or two ago where I realized all of a sudden that I wasn't being invited to things, even to family things. It's like, my mom and my sister would be like, oh yeah, we're going to go to lunch on Thursday, or we went bowling with, and I'm like, where was I? And they were like, oh, we thought you were working.
Yeah.
And the same thing happening with friends, where I realized that everyone in my life just assumed I was working.
Gigging.
I'm gigging, I'm not free. And it was in that moment, it was like a little bit of a depressing moment for me where I realized, I'm like, why don't people like me? What's wrong? And it was like, no, that's not it. I have not been putting healthy work into serving my relationships.
Yeah.
I've been putting all of the work into work.
Yeah.
And so, I really had to make an effort to kind of change my mindset and not feel, not feel weird saying, hey, can we hang out?
Yeah. Right.
Like for me, I never,
even just lunch, even just hang out. Yeah.
Hey, can I just come and say hi? Can I come and give you a hug? Yeah. Like you're my friend. I miss my friend.
Yeah.
I don't know why that seemed so hard for me before. And I think I've gotten a lot better about it, but it took effort. So
yeah, right on. What advice would you give somebody just starting out? Like, would you tell them to be, hey, look for more session work, or immediately try and get a gig, or, what advice would you give them? Get a real gig.
Get a real job. No, I would say, honestly, I hate saying this. I hate using this word, but networking is so key. Networking and practicing and playing your instrument. I mean, for me, I think going and supporting as many musicians as you can is the best way to get support yourself.
Yeah.
But not just going I feel like there's a lot of, showing up and looking cool at other people's gigs. And that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, really caring about artists, caring about, you see the people that you strive to be on the same level as, or you see the people that you really want to work with, I think the important thing is to care, to really, really care, and to show up and support other musicians as much as you can. Because when you do, you find things to be inspired by, you get advice across the board from everybody.
Yeah.
You see people play gear that you realize you want, or you see people, play.
That's the worst, right?
Or you see people play licks that you didn't think were possible. It's like, I feel like the more involved you get in your specific music community, the more ability you have to be a part of it, you know? But also, I mean, I'm going to give myself this advice, but, you know, practice.
Yeah, no. I get it.
Shed. I certainly don't do enough of it, but...
You know, I lived in Denton for several years as well. And I remember getting just a rando message from someone asking me about the bass that they played is the same kind of bass the guy I looked after. And I was like, oh, that's cool. It's a great bass. Yeah. And then he came back. He was kind of beating around the bush. And then he just came right out. He goes, I guess you're really not getting what I'm asking. I'm asking if you would work. Yeah, I'm looking for someone to set my bass up. And I had to tell him, like, listen, I don't do that when I'm home. Like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm too good. It's just, I don't do it when I'm home. Like, I do it so much on the road. And, but if you take it here, and then he was like, well, they're the ones that referred you. Sorry.
You're like,
and I never heard from again. And you know what? This happened, you know, 2018. And it's still, I still go back and I think, man, I should reach out to that guy that I just shut down.
Well, you know, I think that here's the thing is we do only have so much to give, right?
Right.
But that's honestly like there was a time. Gosh, I don't know how long ago, years ago, there was a time where I took every gig, I took every opportunity, I played anything. It didn't matter what I was getting paid. It didn't matter. You know, now I'm lucky to be in a place where I can pick and choose sometimes, not always. This month, I'll take everything. But there are times where I can pick and choose and I have to yeah. for my health and for my sanity. And it always feels bad, but you know, it's like learning how to balance taking care of your, you know, mental and physical health and your time, you know, it's like your time is that's one of your most important assets, you know?
Yeah. It used to be a stigma when someone said, I need to take care of myself mentally.
Oh yeah.
And why do you think that's not a stigma anymore? Because, you know, even out here doing what I do, it was that was taboo. You didn't say, man, like I just need a day for myself, you know.
My mental health
Yeah.
I think that COVID did a lot to change that, especially in the touring world, because anyone who is dealing with anything, anyone who's trying to work, I mean, the entire industry was absolutely obliterated and then changed so beyond recognition for so long. You know, I feel like it's really just now starting to come back, but you know, there are all these venues closing. It's, you know, it's a different world now. And I think that because there was so much tragedy and loss, not just, you know, not, I'm talking venues closing, people losing their jobs, people losing their homes or losing family members, or, you know, it was like so much significant tragedy that nobody had any idea how to manage, right. You know? Yeah. So I feel like it was in that time and in the years following where it's like, I can't today. I have to figure out how to function, you know, like I don't think that I can check 85 emails or respond to the 20 text messages asking about gigs tomorrow. You know, it's like, I can't right now.
Yeah. I didn't realize I was using my gig as a way to cope.
Oh yeah, sure.
You know,
yes.
Like when it was taken away, you know, I went through the same thing everyone else did. I started woodworking. Moss? I started hobbies, and they just didn't fill that void, you know, of what we do.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's what we do. I mean, let's be real. Like, we're dealing with like massive amounts of adrenaline. We're dealing with huge endorphin rushes. You know, it's like it's like chaos within a schedule. It's, you know, you're with your family all the time, and it might be a family of 100 or 200 people, depending, you know, or 20 or whatever. But no, when I think when that all changed, people, you know, people who are used to playing and touring or being on the road or being in musical atmospheres all the time, it all of a sudden we all had to deal with our own emotions. I know, right? And our own selves.
those 22 hours that we used to prepare for the 90-minute show.
Right.
Now we have 24 hours that we're like, what do I do?
What do I do? That's why I got two cats. Yep.
Now they run the house, right?
So they run the house. That's exactly right. They run the house. I am their maid, pretty much.
Do you have anything coming up that you want to share?
You know what? I'm going to be really real with you. I was supposed to leave for tour in a week, and the and things changed. You know, like I said, this industry, it's so unpredictable. It things change, and so now I'm like, I'm a free agent. So I'm like, I'm gonna be, what am I doing? Let me look. I'm like all over Dallas and DFW. I play, like I said, I play a lot with an artist, Amanda Kate Ferris. This morning we woke up and her song Tequila and Jesus hit number one on Texas radio, which is awesome.
Congrats.
But you know, right now for me, I'm trying to figure out what the next thing is. I would really like to find a touring gig. I'm just like keeping my fingers crossed the right thing shows up. And we're going to see what happens.
I'll definitely keep my ears open.
Yes, please do. Yeah. But in the meantime, I'm going to be playing with probably, you know, 15 artists around DFW this month. maybe making my way to Houston or Austin a couple times, and you know, just keep on
rocking.
That
hustle, right, man?
Yes, exactly. Yes, sir.
But where can people find you online?
The best way to find me online is probably on, well, you can look up my name, Scarlett Deering, Scarlett with two T's, Deering with two E's. I'm on YouTube, Instagram, Scarlett Loves Cats, or Scarlett Plays Violin. These are two things that I do. TikTok, you know, all this stuff.
So you have TikTok, Instagram.
I do have a TikTok. I've just started trying to post on TikTok. I'm not very good at it yet, but I'm working on it. Yeah.
Well, you got on TikTok just in time for them to try and ban it.
Yeah, right. Like just when I finally started learning, I'm like, you know.
Perfect timing.
For the longest time I fought it, I was like, I'm not getting on TikTok. I'm those damn kids. No, I'm, but now I'm finally on it and posting videos, mostly just videos of me playing shows. And I've got an Instagram, Scarlett Plays Violin. That's the same, just me playing.
Cool. I discovered TikTok during the COVID pandemic lockdown, and that to me was time killer galore.
Right.
I was on it for 3-4 hours a day, just scrolling. Oh my God, look at this. And I think the content of TikTok has gone down dramatically since.
Yes, I think so. Which is good because now I'm on it. That's great. But no, but mine was Instagram, and it was just cat videos and cooking videos. My COVID thing was cooking. I love cooking. It's like, that's one of my favorite things in the world to do. So
right on, man. Right on. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you've been busy. When we reached out, you were starting a tour.
Yes.
You jumped on a cruise.
Then I was on a cruise and now I'm in Nashville. Yeah. It's, you know, it's a wild life, but
well, great, man. I'm glad you're busy and I hope it works out for you.
Well, thank you so much. We have
one more question.
Yes.
Our podcast is called Is Breakfast Included? And if we were having breakfast right now, what would you have?
Oh, man. Breakfast right now. I would, hold on. Give me a second. Okay. Waffle House grits with the cheese and a poached egg and the hash brown, the, what are they called at Waffle House? Are they hash browns?
Yeah. Hash browns. Covered.
With the mushrooms and the jalapenos and some cheese. Mm. Yeah. Yep. That's what I want.
Wow. Coffee,
orange juice. All of it.
Nice. That's a first. I've never heard so much Waffle House references in their breakfast, but I love it.
I'm really big on their cheesy grits. And you know what? I think it's because I'm in Nashville right now. Like, I mean, there's Waffle House in Texas, but like I used to live here. And anytime I was having a bad day, I would go and get some Waffle House grits. So that's what I'm thinking about right now.
Do you know Ben Danaher?
No, I don't.
He's a songwriter. He's from Texas.
Okay.
He lives in Nashville, but he was on the show. And the one thing about him, he's a friend of mine, but I used to follow everything he did. He would go play a gig and then he'd go to the same Waffle House every night and be waited on by the same waitress. And he'd order the same thing every night. And he said,
"Oh my gosh."
Every night it would be a different total. The total would be different every night. I'd order the same thing, same waitress, same Waffle House, different total every night.
That's too wild.
So and for a while there, I think he had a Waffle House t-shirt, like a t-shirt in tribute to
one. I really want to get one of those mugs. I need a Waffle House mug. They have really good coffee mugs. Yeah, I don't really normally drink coffee, but I want, like, if I'm at Waffle House, I want coffee and I want that mug.
Well, I'll tell you what, next time I'm at Waffle House, I tend to take things. I'll grab
you. Thank you.
If you don't want to get busted, I don't.
I'll let you take one for the team and get me a Waffle House mug. Thank you.
Scarlett, thanks so much for your time, man. It's been a pleasure. I'm glad we finally get to meet. Like I said,
know,
we've
too.
Been friends on Facebook for a while but I'm glad we got to meet. And I hope our paths cross soon and we'll
sure
definitely keep our ear open for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Yes, you too.
Right on, Scarlett Deering. I told you, man, you were going to dig her, right? You know, in all that conversation, I forgot to ask her a question that I really wanted to know is if she had ever been challenged by the devil in a fiddle playing contest for a fiddle of gold. So Scarlett, if you're listening to this, please let us know. You can post on our social media and let us know, you know, if that's ever been an opportunity handed to you. You can find out more about Scarlett on her Instagram at Scarlett Loves Cats, also at Scarlett Plays Violin. Check her out. If she's coming anywhere near you, go see her, man. Support her. And while you're online, make sure you check out isbreakfast.com. Check out our YouTube page, subscribe, comment, smash the like button. Go to our store and check out the products. If you have any suggestions, you know, about if there's anything we're not selling that you want us to sell, we'll try. Or if you have an idea for a guest, you know, throw us a line. If we find them interesting, we'll reach out to them. If we don't, we'll unfollow you and we won't even mind doing it. Check out toneshopguitars.com. Check out what they have to offer. Use the code BREAKFAST15 to receive 15% off your first online order. All right, man. That's about it. That's all I'm hawking. Have a great day and we'll talk to you next week.